Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate. Chapter is entitled The Structure of the Universe, text number 5. Pratnasya Vishnu Rupam Yat Satyasya Tasya Brahmanaha Amritasya Cha Mitrasya Mitrosya Surya Atmanam Imam Hiti Pratnasya Vishnu. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This is the mantra by which the inhabitants of Plakshadweep worship the Supreme Lord. Let us take shelter of the sun god, who is the reflection of Lord Vishnu, the all-expanding Supreme Personality of Godhead, the oldest of all persons. Vishnu is the only worshipable Lord. He is the Vedas, He is religion, and He is the origin of all auspicious and inauspicious results. Purport. Purport is quite long, so please listen up. Lord Vishnu is even the Supreme Lord of Death, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Mityur Sarvaharasya Aham. There are two kinds of activity, auspicious and inauspicious, and both are controlled by Lord Vishnu. Inauspicious activities are said to be behind Lord Vishnu, whereas auspicious activities stand before him. The auspicious and the inauspicious exist throughout the entire world, and Lord Vishnu is the controller of both of them. In this regard, to this verse, Sri Madhvacharya says, Surya Samagni Varyasa Vidhatrushu Yata Kraman Plaksadi Dvipa Samstastu Stitam Harim Upasate. There are many lands, fields, mountains, and oceans throughout the creation, and everywhere the Supreme Personality of Godhead is worshipped by His different names. Sri Viraghava Acharya explains this verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam as follows. The original cause of the cosmic manifestation must be the oldest person and must therefore be beyond all material transformations. He is the enjoyer of all auspicious activities and the cause of conditioned life and liberation. The demigod Surya, who is categorized as a very powerful jiva, or living entity, is a representation of one of the parts of his body. We are naturally subordinate to powerful living entities, and therefore we can worship the various demigods as living beings who are powerful representations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although the worship of the sun god is recommended in this mantra, he is worshipped not as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but as his powerful representative. In the Kathi Upanishads 1.3.1, it is said, Ritam pibhato sukritasya loke kuham paristo paramam paradye chayatapo brahma vido vadanti pacha nagyo ye cha tri nachiketa. Translation, O Nachiketa, the expansions of Lord Vishnu as a living entity and the Supersoul are both situated within the cave of the heart of this body. Having entered that cavity, the living entity, resting on the chief of the life airs, enjoys the results of activity, and the Supersoul, acting as a witness, enables him to enjoy them. Those who are well-versed in knowledge of Brahman and those householders who carefully follow the Vedic regulations say that the difference between the two is like the difference between a shadow and the sun. In the Svetasvatara Upanishad 6.16, it is said, Savishvakrit Vishvavidyatmanyanyo ni Gya Kalakaro Guni Sarva Vidya Pradhani Shetra Gya Patir Gunesha Samsara Moksha Stiti Bandhu Hetu. The Supreme Lord, the creator of this cosmic manifestation, knows every nook and corner of his creation. Although he is the cause of creation, there is no cause for his appearance. He is fully aware of everything. He is the Supersoul, the master of all transcendental qualities, and he is the master of this cosmic manifestation in regard to bondage to the conditioned state of material existence and liberation from that bondage. Similarly, in the Taittiriya Upanishads 2.8, it is said, Bishiman vata parvate bishodeti suryaha bishmamad agnishchetrascha mityur davati panchamaha. Translation, it is out of fear of the Supreme Brahman that the wind is blowing, out of fear of him that the sun regularly rises and sets, and out of fear of him fire acts. It is only due to fear of him that death and Indra, the king of heaven, perform their respective duties. Unquote. As described in this chapter, the inhabitants of the five islands, beginning with Plaksadweep, worship the sun god, the moon god, the fire god, the air god, and Lord Brahma, respectively. Although they engage in worship of these five demigods, however, they actually worship Lord Vishnu, the Supersoul of all living entities, as indicated in this verse by the word Pranasya Vishnu Rupam. Vishnu is Brahma, Amrita, Mityu, the Supreme Lord and the origin of everything, auspicious and inauspicious. He is situated in the heart of everyone, including all the demigods. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 7.20, Kamaistastair Hitagyanam Prapadyante Nadevataha. Those whose minds are distorted by material desires surrender unto the demigods. People who are almost blind due to lusty desires are recommended to worship the demigods to have their material desires fulfilled. But actually, those desires are not fulfilled by the material demigods. Whatever the demigods do is done with the sanction of the Lord himself. People who are too lusty worship various demigods instead of worshiping Lord Vishnu, the Supersoul of all living entities. But ultimately, it is Lord Vishnu they worship because he is the Supersoul of all the demigods. Bhakti, or devotion, is the constitutional position of all living beings. The nature of the living entity is to show devotion to superior. One who doesn't have any of that in their life, they are dead. They're dead. There's no life. They're just more or less existing. Because bhakti is the nature of the living entity. And of course, we understand the ultimate principle of bhakti is to love and to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when that bhakti somehow is directed in different areas, it comes out as worship to material energy in forms of relatives, friends, loved ones, family members. Some people love their country, society. They say, I love my country. I give my time and my energy and my attention to national things. I love my family members. I'll do whatever I have to do. I love my friends. I even love my dog, my cat, my hamster, you know, so many things. So the element of love or bhakti is, you can't take that out of life because that's there. And so in whatever level that exists, it represents a direction of person's focus in life. So we see here that there is some regard to the devas, the demigods. So there's some devotion to the demigods. But what is that devotion? It's a reflection of the devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when interests, when personal interest enters into bhakti, then bhakti becomes what we say polluted or tinged. Or contaminated, or what we say, mixed. Mixed. And on whatever level that mixture is, it is the position of that living entity within their, in the world. Some people are on a gross level in terms of their desire to show some devotion to things in this world, but it's all based on selfishness. It's like using your money to satisfy your senses only. You have money. Money is valuable and can be used to acquire things. It can be used to create things also and to support things. But when it's used for selfish interest, it's not very glorious. And the results are that one becomes more and more illusioned by that type of, what we say, devotion or expression of concern, because it's mixed with selfishness. And this is, on every level you see this, this is what the world is made of. But the natural constitutional position of all living entities is to show eternal loving relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead without any personal motivation. Ayabilasita sunya jnana kamaranavritam anukulena krishna siladam bhakti uttama. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the nectar of devotion, explains that this is the natural position of pure devotional service, which is the constitutional position of all living beings. Nitya siddha krishna prema sadhu kabunoi shravanadi siddhi chitti koriye udoi. In the heart of all living beings, pure love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead exists. And until the living entity situates themselves in activity that are defined by that mood of existence, the living entity remains somewhat less satisfied. There's some satisfaction, and there's great satisfaction in some cases. But until all personal desires are removed, the living entity cannot somehow or other find happiness or complete happiness. It's interrupted. So, in other words, one has to come to pure devotional service. Of course, we were just discussing the other day how Prabhupada said to everyone that in order to go back to Godhead, you have to become pure. Prabhupada was saying. And then the devotees, this was in London, I think many years ago, Prabhupada was explaining pure devotional service. And after hearing that statement that you can't go back to Godhead unless you actually become 100% pure, Prabhupada used the word 100%. Nothing left. Not a pinch. Prabhupada said, not a pinch of material desire. But then he looked at the devotees. And everybody had long faces. Pure devotional service. How can we do that? It's too difficult. The Prabhupada said, okay, 90% pure. And then he got up to end the lecture. And still the devotees were quite restless. Not very much excited. He said, okay, 80%. And still, it wasn't satisfiable. So then Prabhupada said, and then Prabhupada finally got up and said, 70%, no less. Then he got up and left. So to become 100% pure is, it's a great achievement. And the spiritual master sets the standard. But until that pure devotional service really manifests, there's always, what we say, rebirth. Of course, maybe if you are 70% pure, if you are 80% pure, but you're trying your whole life to become 100% pure, this is the point. It's not that you calculate, okay, I got 80% bhakti and 20% me, and therefore Prabhupada said it's okay. And I can offer that equation at the time of death. No. One may be 80% pure at the time of death, but as striving their whole life to become 100% pure, then what happens? That 20% is wiped away by the mercy of the spiritual master. And then back home, back to Godhead, which is the goal of life. But one has to aspire for pure devotional service. That's the point. One has to aspire for pure devotion. Even if you don't make it, but if you aspire for it, the mercy is so strong. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy is so strong, so powerful. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw someone exhibiting the mood of humble devotional service, he became so satisfied and blessed that person with love of God. Mahaprabhu's mercy was so powerful. There's that story where there was one, Lord Chaitanya was sitting on the throne of Vishnu. What was that? The 21-hour Mahaprakash Lila. He had taken the Shalagram Shilas off the throne in the house of Srivastakur. He sat on the throne, he put the Shilas on his lap, and he took on the mood of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All the devotees became so ecstatic. Mahaprabhu is exhibiting his mood up as the Supreme Lord. And then he called to worship, and the worship went on. And they were chanting beautiful prayers from the Brahma Samhita, and they were taking water from the Ganga. The devotees were lining up, and they were chanting the prayers with such devotion. The Lord was accepting the bathing ceremony. After they bathed him, they dressed him. And then they offered so much foodstuffs that they couldn't find anything after a while to offer. They offered everything they had, and Mahaprabhu was eating everything. He became Vishvambar. He just was devouring everything within the universe. One who nourishes the whole universe, Vishvambar. One can eat everything within the universe, Vishvambar. So, and then, of course, the Archi afterwards. But during the bathing ceremony, there was one lady. She was standing in the Ganga, and she was getting the pots of water for the devotees. And she was just way in the background. And she wasn't even wanting to become part of the bathing. She just wanted to assist the other devotees. And she was doing it in such an enthusiastic, but at the same time, very humble mood. And Lord Chaitanya saw her. And he turned to Srivas. He said, "Who's that?" Oh, Srivas said, "That's my maidservant, Duki." Her name was Duki. What does Duki mean? Duki means what? Miserable or unhappy, right? So Lord Chaitanya said, "Oh, Duki. Now we will call her Suki." He gave her the name Suki. In other words, he blessed her simply by her humble attempt to serve. The Lord was pleased by the humble attempt. So this is our qualification. What is our qualification in devotional service? Our qualification is the mercy of the spiritual master. Our qualification is the association of devotees. That's our qualification. Not our education, not our birth, not our background, not our money, not anything. These are not qualifications. These are opportunities to render some service by using these things. But our qualification is the mercy of the spiritual master. That's all. And our qualification is the mercy of the spiritual master in the association of Vaishnavas. How important is association of devotees? One devotee, he's writing me regularly. He's struggling so hard to become Krishna conscious. He wants to become Krishna. But he's living outside. He's working. And he has a full-time job, and he's away from me. I said, I'll do whatever I can to help you. But you should understand that one of the most important parts of spiritual life is to associate with devotees. You have to. Just can't eliminate that and expect to be Krishna conscious. It's so important. It's, everything is there. Inspiration, enthusiasm, purification, everything, correction, everything is there in the association of Vaishnavas. So important. So this element of bhakti that's being explained here is being directed towards the representatives of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of the demigods. But actually, Prabhupada explains that ultimately it's meant for Krishna. Everything is meant for Krishna. Because everything comes from Krishna. And everything is based on what we say, the sanction of the Lord. If the demigods may act, but without the empowerment of the Lord, they can't do anything. They are limbs of the body of the Lord. And if the Lord decides not to give facility to that limb, the limb can't do anything. But what is the demigods giving? They're giving something less. They're giving something less. That's the point here. That why worship anything or anyone or aspire for anything but devotional service? That is the most important point here. And one should only aspire for devotional service, pure devotional service. And here, Prabhupada quotes, this is interesting, Prabhupada's quoting how everything is connected. And he quotes the Upanishads, Katha Upanishads, Svetasvatara Upanishads, Taittiriya Upanishads. He quotes from Madhvacharya. He quotes Viraragavacharya. Places that are not normally quoted. He quotes from he's bringing in these points to show from these particular quotes that everything is situated on Krishna. Everything is situated on Krishna. And Krishna says, one who sees me in everything and everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. So one should perform their activities, whatever they are, devotional service or those activities which support devotional service, as far as maintaining family and responsibilities, in a mood of surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because without the sanction of the Lord in anything, really, even if you have success in activities that are, what we say, material activities, maintaining family or job, it doesn't really matter. If it's not based on devotional principles, if not based on service to the Lord, it's Shrama Eva Hi Kevalam. It's useless. It's a waste of time. It doesn't stand the test of time, nor can it bring satisfaction, happiness, and peace in our life. Only things done in devotional service actually purify the heart, inspire the mind, and stand the test of time. As Krishna mentions here, the demigods, they can give great benedictions, but what are they? Temporary. Nobody wants anything temporary, right? If you're intelligent, you don't want anything temporary. If you're a fool, then you'll just take temporary things because you're a fool. Foolish people want things that are cheap because temporary things are cheap. And everything that is temporary, it's easier to get. But things that are eternal are more difficult to get because you have to pay a greater price. And what is that great price? One has to surrender to the Supreme Personality of God in loving devotional service. And that surrender is not something that is simply done. It is something that is cultivated. Surrender is a mood. It's not something I do. It's something I cultivate. It's a consciousness that has to be constantly, what we say, we use the word cultivation, a constantly developed. When after Brahma offered the beautiful prayers, the Brahma Samhita, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna spoke to Brahma. He spoke five verses. And in one of the verses, he explained how to attain him. He didn't say himself. He said, the highest goal is attained by slow degrees. By slow degrees through shastric evidence, theistic conduct, and perseverance in practice. These are the three things that the Lord said. That through shastric evidence, as explained by the spiritual master, he is the living embodiment of all shastra, so he's giving us shastric evidence. Theistic conduct, how to execute devotional service in the proper mood. Sanatan Goswami said to Haridas Thakur, some people preach, but their behavior is not so good. And others, their behavior is very good, very impeccable, but they don't preach. But you're the best. You have combined both. And Lord Chaitanya said that etiquette, Vaishnava etiquette, is the ornament of a devotee, their behavior. How they behave towards others, how they behave towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whatever they do, that is the mood that allows for devotion to manifest. If theistic conduct or Vaishnava etiquette is not there, it's very hard to access bhakti. It's very difficult. So the Lord explains, follow the shastras, proper conduct, and the last one, perseverance in practice. Perseverance. One has to persevere. When you put a seed into the ground, you don't just leave it. You cultivate the ground. You make sure the weeds are removed. You regularly water the plant. And then as the plant grows, you may also have to trim it to make it grow in a strong way. You may have to also remove some insects. In other words, you have to do other things also to make your plant grow nicely. Because there's some, we're planting the seed of bhakti. But what happens? We're in this material world. And as soon as we associate again with the material energy, what happens? We start to again become affected by that energy. We don't even see it. It's so subtle. But as we associate with the material energy, we see contaminations start to develop in our consciousness. Maya, especially in Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga is like the most polluted of all the ages. The entire atmosphere is so contaminated with sinful activities because sinful activities stay within the atmosphere. They stay in the akash, in the ether. People's thoughts, people's activities, people's desires, and just the whole contamination of material life surrounds the atmosphere known as this material world. So we're performing bhakti. We're chanting, we're associating, we're doing it. But then again, that material energy is still very strong. And it's dragging us, pulling us. Again, trying to somehow or other, again, cover us over with the wrong kind of consciousness. So therefore, we have to stay very close. Therefore, perseverance in practice. Perseverance in practice. It's very difficult. But the association of devotees, seriously chanting the holy names of the Lord. Very serious. We have to chant with attention. We have to chant with devotion. We have to chant with a desire to please the Lord and want to serve the Lord. That is the mood of chanting. And we associate with devotees in the mood of serving the devotees, in the mood of making friends with the devotees. That is the mood of service. And we worship the Supreme Lord in humble devotional service. Whatever we do it not as, I'm so qualified, I'm so expert, I've done this before, I can do it again. What is our qualification? We read that the qualification is simply the mercy of the spiritual master and the Lord. There's one beautiful prayer spoken by Bilva Mangala Thakur. He says, my dear Lord, with your mercy, what is the use of others' mercy? I don't want anybody else's mercy. I want yours. And if I don't have your mercy, what is the use of others' mercy? With your mercy, everything is there. And without your mercy, then what is the use of any other mercy? It's only your mercy. So everything depends on the mercy of the Lord coming through the spiritual master, the pure devotees of the Lord. And that is our only success in Krishna consciousness. When we understand that fully, then we can make advancement in devotional service. That we are simply mercy cases. We are simply mercy. Of course, we're here in India, but I know Prabhupada, when he saw his Western disciples, he was thinking, these are definitely cases for Lord Nityananda's supreme mercy. Prabhupada said, I went to the West, and I was looking for first-class people to make them Krishna conscious, and that way they could affect so many people's lives. But when I went to the West, I never found any first class. And I never found any second class. Only third and fourth class at best. So this is our qualification is simply the mercy of the spiritual master. And that is really is what is all the qualifications we need. So we take shelter of the Lord's instructions through the spiritual master, and we carefully cultivate our mood of devotional service every day in our devotional service. And we know that everything, all success, simply is based on pleasing the Lord and pleasing the spiritual master. And how is the Lord and the spiritual master pleased? Simply by a humble attempt to offer devotional service. That's all. That is our qualification. To somehow humbly offer whatever we have in devotion to the Lord, with a desire to please the Lord. Demigods, great souls, they have great qualifications. And they're worshiping the Lord, but they're worshiping the Lord also through the Lord's representatives, the demigods. But they understand that behind the demigods, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is there. So this is a correct understanding. But still, they mix their worship with the worship of the demigods too. They're worshiping the Lord and the demigods. It's interesting. But we know that if you simply please, Prabhupada says, you simply please Krishna, in the demigods automatically become the servants of that person. When Dhruva Maharaj had finished his life, his 36,000 years, he was ruling the pole star. It was time for him to go back home, back to Godhead. So even death personified, who was Yamaraj, he came and said and offered his head as a stepping stone into the spiritual world. So when one is pleasing the Lord, engaged in devotional service to the Lord, then the demigods are automatically pleased. All living beings are pleased. Everyone is pleased. There's no need for trying to please anyone except the Lord and his pure devotees. Okay. So I was told to end 9 o'clock. It's just about 9 now. Do we have any questions? Any questions? Yes. Ujwala, is it? Prabhu.
Maharaj, we have heard that if we are doing devotional service and if we are not hearing and chanting, then that devotional service is almost like normal karma. So,
if we're not hearing and chanting
properly, that means if we are not in good consciousness. So, like in the sense, so do we make advancement by that devotional service or?
Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, "Yayatam mam prapadyante, tam sataiva bhajami aham mama vartmanu vartante manushya partha sarvasyaha." As you approach me, I reward you accordingly. So Krishna is responding to the level of our devotion, and devotion requires attention. And the more attentive we are to our activities, the more the mood of devotion can, or we say, be awakened. So devotional, there is mind, there is body, and there is speech. So if we're speaking and acting, but our mind is somewhere else, I mean, that's still activities within the category of devotional service, but still the mind is not able to perceive the relationship that we can actually experience when our mind is fixed upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we access, or we endeavor to be as attentive as we can in our hearing, in our chanting, in whatever we do. The mode of passion is the mode that drags us into activities, sometimes without any clear focus. We just do things. It's called spontaneous maya. It's raganuga maya. I mean, people are spontaneous for so many things. But we're conditioned due to the association of the material energy to be spontaneous in a wrong way. So when we try to reverse that, if you're going 50 miles an hour and you try to make a sharp turn, the force of the speed of you're going pushes you in the same direction. So making a turn into devotional service is a sharp turn from maya. Therefore, we have to constantly, what we say, be attentive to whatever we're doing. And try to do it the best we can. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakura explains that the offense of inattention, or he calls it pramada, we chant every day the offenses to the holy name. The 11th offense is inattention. And Bhaktivinoda Thakura explains that offense leads to all other offenses. The offense of inattention opens up the door to other offenses. So by becoming attentive in our devotion, we experience the happiness that comes with chanting, and at the same time, it gives us protection against committing offenses. It gives us the intelligence. Krishna does everything through the holy name. And when we're not attentive, we're not striving to become attentive, then there's offenses, there's mistakes, there's just basically inability to access the mercy of the Lord. So especially in our hearing and chanting, because that's the foundation. Because hearing and chanting is the building blocks of all our services. All our services are situated on hearing and chanting. Prabhupada explains that chanting the holy name and engaging in devotional service is like a coin with two sides. The quality of our chanting will increase the quality of our service, and the quality of our service will increase the ability to hear and chant in an improved way. So both have to be there. You have to practice. Therefore, as Krishna told Brahma, you have perseverance in practice. You have to practice, 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 practice. So we have to understand how best to do it. Everyone is different. People have different natures. So you can't imitate someone else. If you try to imitate somebody else, you may also make a mistake. You have to go according to how best you can access the mood of hearing and chanting nicely. We have to practice, 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 practice. Because the mind is chanchala. Chanchala himana krishna pramati balavadriha tasya hamigaram manye vayor idam saduskaram. Arjuna said to Krishna, you're asking me to control this mind, but I think it's like trying to control the wind. Krishna says, abhyasena tukuntaya vairagya chagrihate. He says, yes, you're right. To control the mind is like controlling the wind. But you can do it by two things. Practice, constant practice, not practice, constant practice, and giving up sense gratification. If you're practicing mind control, but you're still cultivating the mood of sense gratification, then it's like just tiny bit, hardly no advancement. That's why people in devotional service for years have been practicing Krishna consciousness and they can't get anywhere because they're still cultivating Krishna sense gratification. And as long as we still cultivate sense gratification or have the desire for sense gratification, then the process of hearing and chanting is practically nil, very slow. Therefore, one of the offenses to the holy name is to not have complete faith in chanting of the holy name and still maintain desires for material desires. After understanding so many instructions, so one may still be inclined to the process of sense gratification, but one should be consciously trying to give it up. Consciously trying to give up offenses, trying to give up material desires, and trying to hear and chant nicely. You have to practice, 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 practice. Krishna says it's practice. Prabhupada says it's practice. It's practice. Practice. Devotional service is practice. Proper practice. Okay? Any other questions? Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.